Peace. Someone asked me the other day how I was, and I was actually thought about it rather than giving you the standard reply of, yeah, I'm all right. And as I found as I was thinking about it, I thought, well, how am I really? And what is really going on in my life? What do I really need right now? And I said to them, I think I just need a bit more peace. Stuff's just busy and, you know, the kind of rushing from one thing to the next and too many things going on in my mind, too many things that I'm thinking about and just too many things that I'm concerned about and that are weighing on my mind. And that feeling of, a bit like Elsie was saying, of not really stopping. I just need a bit more peace. And I wonder how you come this evening. I wonder how we come as we think about that. And I wonder if we really know what it means to be at peace. I wonder if maybe we can remember how it feels. Maybe if for you it's been a while since you felt really at peace. What does it feel like? And, you know, maybe thinking a bit more than just peaceful. What does it feel like to really be at peace? And how do we find it? I wonder what your response is as we started to think a little bit about trying to lay some things down and find peace. Just for a couple of minutes, if you're willing, talk with the people around you. What does it mean to be at peace? How does it feel? How do we find it? Or any reflections you've got about peace or our general lack of it, if you'd like. A couple of minutes, talk to each other. What's your experience of peace or the lack of it? We find peace. We find ourselves sometimes maybe searching for it. Sometimes maybe we look for peace by things like Netflix, whatever it is that might be your bit of kind of escapism. The answer to the question, I just need to switch off, so I will, whatever. I know for some it's TV. Maybe for some it's a book. Those kind of things that just there's something on your mind and you go, you know, I'm just going to escape from it right now by whatever it might be, something in a sense of mind-numbing that will switch off from it. For some, maybe it's sleep. I need some peace, I'm just going to sleep. Some people, I know, have this amazing ability in the face of stuff really stressing them out. Some of us, if you're like me, you can't sleep when you've got a lack of peace. I think I heard someone just say, well, what is peace? Well, it's the ability to sleep easily. Some people, when stressed out, seem to have the ability to sleep just like that. And that's their kind of response to it. I will just switch off to all of it and escape from it that way. I'll just sleep. This is one of my favourites in the bottom left. Has anyone heard the adverts for onthebeach.com? Yeah, it's everywhere at the moment, isn't it? They're trying to fill in the place for whatever the one was that went bust. Can't remember. But there was that travel agent that went bust. It was in the news all over the place. You all know which one. Thompson. Oh, because you... Thomas Cook, was that the one? Oh, you remember DERC. Did he get a holiday cancelled? And they're obviously trying to fill in the gap. Anyway, and the adverts go something along that line of, don't they? You know, the one that sticks in my head, I've heard on the radio so many times, and it's the guy whose his car set on fire, and it set the tree on fire, and the tree fell on his house, and his house got set on fire. But then he booked a holiday through onthebeach.com, and now he's on the beach thinking, coupé, that's a funny French word. And he's at peace now, because he's gone to the beach. I'll find peace by just running away, isn't it? All their adverts are on a similar vein in a ridiculous sense of everything's absolutely awful, so just go to the beach, just run away from it all. And of course, the problem is that either for most people, it just goes with you, or at least at some point, you're going to have to come back, and it's your car and your house are still going to be burnt down. It doesn't disappear. Or maybe for some, it's those things of kind of, if you like, I've put running up there, but engaging in something else. In fact, it might be running, it might be exercise, it might actually be just keeping frenetically busy. Because if you never stop, you never have to face up to that question of that kind of, that stuff inside that you just will ignore. I'll just never stop, and then I'll never realise how much I lack peace, because I'll just keep going, and I'll never think about it. and maybe the challenge of Elsie making us sit quietly for 5 minutes is quite painful, because it makes us stop and go, what's really going on? Paul talks about a peace that passes all understanding as we come to look towards the end of Philippians. Let's have a little look at what's going on with Paul about this peace that maybe we realise, or even if we don't know it yet, we need and we might be searching for, and see how Paul directs us to it. Actually, right at the beginning of the passage that we've got, it begins with conflict. Verse 2, he's pleading with a couple of his friends. We don't know anything else about these two people, other than that they're mentioned in this verse. Annoyingly, we don't know what they're arguing about, because that would be interesting. We know very little, other than the fact that there's clearly some kind of conflict going on. And it is quite interesting that Paul doesn't tell us what it is. He's almost saying, it doesn't matter the thing that you're arguing over. Find peace with each other. This starts, actually, in this passage, not with a thing about, you know, that feeling of peace, the on-the-beach type, kind of everything stop peace. But the peace that this is writing about is, he's writing to a couple of his friends who are in an argument with each other, who are in conflict. And a couple of verses later, in the midst of just having said to some people, sort out your differences in your argument, he's saying, do not be anxious about anything. This isn't that kind of on-the-beach type peace of just escaping and, you know, it's all easy now because I've run away from it all, or the peace of kind of nothing happening because it's all simple and relaxed. This is the peace, the do not be anxious about anything that Paul is writing about here, is peace in the midst of when some of his friends have fallen out. And if you've been here through the series of Philippians, you'll have picked up, so I suspect lots of times, that Paul's in prison. That he's writing from a place of being in chains. Right at the start, we picked up that there were people going around who were generally saying not very nice things about him, and were against him. We know that he may well have been facing possible execution. And now we read that he's writing to friends in this church who've fallen out. People who are companions that he's had in ministry who are now arguing with each other. And in the midst of all that, he talks about having peace, about the peace of God. And I think we can understand now why he writes about the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Because we don't understand naturally how it is that Paul should be at peace in the midst of all that going on. This isn't the peace that's the absence of things being difficult. This isn't the escape to the beach kind of peace. This is the peace that God can give in the midst of it all being very messy. I want to pick up particularly on what he says here about this peace. This peace, he says, that will guard your hearts. A peace that will guard your heart. The heart is the word they use for the place of feelings. Okay, so this is talking about a feeling of having peace. And I need to talk here, just brief kind of sort of caveat, footnote, disclaimer, that we come in here to a verse that talks about being anxious and anxiety, and obviously there is a whole kind of medical stuff around being diagnosed with having an issue around anxiety. I'm not a medical professional, I'm not someone who can talk about having an anxiety disorder, and I recommend that if you have struggled with that, or you think you may be struggling with that, that you go and talk to your doctor. And from whatever I say tonight, please don't make sudden changes to your medical plans if you are in some way anxiety. Good joke, but I wouldn't want anyone to take what I say in place of what their doctor says. However, I actually also think, with all that said, some of the things that Paul says here are probably quite close to what some therapists might say in response to struggling with some of these issues. Talk with your therapist about that if you've got a good one. Will guard over your hearts, will guard over the way that you feel. How do we get that peace of God guarding over our hearts? It's in what comes before. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This is what leads to that peace of God guarding over our hearts and our feelings. And let's have a look at what that really is about. He talks about doing it in every situation. In every situation, pray. Someone came to me a little while ago and was needing to renew their passport. And it wasn't a British Burgundy or blue passport. It was a foreign passport that they needed to renew, and they had to get someone to confirm their identity. And it's always easy. I know what I'm doing with UK ones, but when other countries are involved, it always gets the forms are always different. It's always a little bit more complicated, and we're trying to work out what we're doing. And it was clear that this other person also didn't quite know what they were doing with it either. So we're trying to fathom it out. And it's also clear that they're a bit concerned about this, that they were concerned that they get it off, they get it sorted, and they get it renewed, because they needed to have their passport. And once they got away, I suddenly realised afterwards, I go, well, why didn't we pray about that? Of course, I could pray for them then when they'd gone, but I just thought it was a hindsight. Wouldn't it be good? Why didn't we at that point just stop and pray? And to say, God, you know this concerned us. You know we're not quite sure. Lord, would you smooth the way for this to be renewed? And if there's something we've missed, would you show us? In every situation. Sometimes we can get into our heads, or sometimes people even say, oh, well, God doesn't care about the small details of your life. He only cares about the big stuff. That's not what this says. It says, don't be anxious about everything. In every situation, pray. If there's something that you're anxious about, that you're concerned about, that you're worried about, the encouragement here is not to go, oh, God doesn't care about that. The encouragement in response to that is to pray, is to bring it to God. And to do it in this way, to do it with prayer and petition. Petition is something that, if we talk about a petition normally, a petition is what we bring to usually to a higher power, isn't it? You petition your local council, or you petition your MP, or you petition the government. You come and you're bringing some kind of request to a higher power. And that's a sense of what it is we're doing as we come to God, isn't it? We come in that way, bringing our requests to a higher authority. And there's something in this of what Jesus said is in the way he encouraged us to pray, to persevere in prayer, to not give up. Because God is encouraging us to do that because his God is good and he will answer you. But to persist in prayer. But to persist in prayer with thanksgiving. That actually, again, as Jesus teaches us, that, you know, he says about which of you father if his child asks him for bread will give him a snake. You know, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? We know that God will give us good things. That we know we don't come to a tyrant of a God who's clenching his fists against us. But we can come to him with thanksgiving because we come to a good Father who delights to respond to our prayers and to hear us. So we can come with thanksgiving for all that God has done and is doing in our lives. Present your requests to God. And in some ways, I think it's a little bit deceptive, but I think that last bit is sometimes the hardest. Present your requests to God. Because actually, the challenge there is for us to actually work out what is it that we want God to do? What is it that we're really asking for? Knowing that sometimes he brings us through difficult things in order to grow us, in order to show his strength in our weakness. Knowing that we want to live according to what the Bible says and pray according to what the Bible says. Knowing that we want God to be glorified above all and that our lives would point to him. What is it we really want God to do? There's a few times in the Bible where people come to Jesus with quite obvious needs. This is an obvious problem. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? I believe he still asks us the same question. What do you want me to do for you? In these things that you're anxious and concerned about and worried about, that are weighing on your mind, that take away your peace, what do you want me to do for you? I think sometimes actually that's harder to answer than we think. Bring your requests to God. What do you want me to do in this situation? And the peace that God gives is the peace that Jesus talks about in John chapter 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He says that shortly before he's going to be betrayed and crucified. Shortly before these disciples are about to go through what may well be the worst period in their lives as they see Jesus beaten, crucified, and killed. This isn't peace of the absence of difficult things. This is peace in the midst of trouble. But he says to them, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And of course, there's no way that we would have wanted the disciples not to have gone through that, would we? Because we rejoice in what Jesus has done on the cross, that we have been set free, that those chains have been broken, as we've been singing about. We rejoice in what has happened. And yet, in order for that to happen, Jesus and his disciples had to go through an incredibly difficult and troubled time. We rejoice in that through what Jesus did, God made peace. As we finish that passage with verse 9, the God of peace will be with you. This God of peace who made peace with us through the death of Jesus on the cross. That's what we'll come and remember shortly as we share in communion together. The death of Jesus through Jesus' body and blood, that God made peace with humankind. That our sins were dealt with. And the God of peace was able to reconcile us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is the peace of God that comes through knowing him. This reconciliation that's talked about isn't just that inner feeling of peace, but is a reconciliation both with God and with each other. We come as the body of Christ, as a people together, reconciled both to God and to one another. Let's remember that Paul is writing this passage just after having said to two of his friends, sort it out with each other. Sort out your disagreements and get on with each other. Look to the God of peace to be with you, that you might be reconciled and at peace with one another. Again, this isn't just an inner feeling of peace, but a real peace from the God of peace that leads both to peace with him and with each other. This peace comes through prayer, through bringing our requests to God. That's how we find that peace in our hearts. But the peace of God that transcends all understanding doesn't just guard our hearts, he says here, but will also guard your minds. The peace of God, not just in that feeling of peace that God can bring as we bring our requests to him, but also a peace of God dwelling in our minds, in our thoughts, in what we focus upon, in what captivates our thoughts, our imagination even, or just what we dwell upon. A peace of God in our minds rather than troubled minds. And that, for me, the pathway towards that comes in this next verse, in what we think about. We have a choice about what we think about. We have a choice about what we will focus upon, about the thoughts that we will dwell on. It's hard to control every thought that comes into your mind, but we do have a choice over what we continue to dwell upon and what thoughts we'll entertain and how we'll focus upon them. He's here directing us to think about certain things. There's not an exhaustive list, but he writes about, but to focus on things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent or praiseworthy. When they wrote these kind of lists, they weren't meant to be exhaustive, but to give you the point, these kind of things that you're meant to focus upon. Of course, the trouble is that we so easily focus upon the opposite. And so easily we're directed towards focusing upon the opposite. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is untrue, unholy, unjust, impure, ungodly, of ill repute, vicious, and blameworthy will be in the newspapers. You'll find it there. I was going to say for free, but almost. Of course, it's not that we're going to ignore things that are... We're not going to ignore things that are difficult. It's not saying bury your head in the sand, to come back to the on the beach picture. It's not saying bury your head in the sand. There are some things going on in the world, as we'd said, you watch the news, there are some things that are concerning, that are troubling. We've already talked about what we do with those things. Yeah? What do we do? Pray about them. And so what are we going to do the rest of the time? What are we going to focus upon? And I know I'm guilty of focusing on the negative. And truth be told, I don't focus on coronavirus. I mean, that's. I mean, maybe, I appreciate there may be some here who are desperately worried about that, and that's kind of what occupies your thoughts. It's not what does it for me, and I suspect others are similar. It's not those things that dwell upon me. It's the person who was a bit annoying yesterday. That's what I focus on. That's what I dwell upon. And I caught myself. I'd been preparing for this, and I caught myself, and it was the day later. I was full ready to have a moan about someone. Being honest, I was full ready just to, you know, complain and focus on what was negative. Some of it probably wasn't even true. And I caught myself and, to my credit, stopped myself. Only because I was preparing for the sermon. If you're going to challenge people about it, you've really got to live it at least for a couple of days. We're so easily guilty of focusing on the wrong things. And it affects our minds. It affects how we're going to think. The encouragement here is to focus on what is true. What is true? Actually, so often we can focus upon what might be rumour or possible or might happen. The direction is to focus upon what actually is true. What's the honest truth? To focus upon what's noble. What's worthy of respect? It's another way of phrasing it. To focus on what's right, what's morally good, the good things that have been done, that people have done, and what's pure, or purity, or even holiness. What actually is there of God's holiness shown around us, in our lives, in the lives of others? To look at what's lovely. We might use the word attractive, not in a physical way, but in a way that we're positively drawn towards. What's admirable? What's worth talking about? What can we encourage others towards? What's excellent and praiseworthy? What's worth commending and approving to others? The encouragement here is that those are the things that we should be thinking about and allowing our minds to dwell upon. There's a bit of a trend about mindfulness at the moment. I think we've moved away from the word meditation a little bit, and we're now heading towards mindfulness as being the kind of like buzzword that we want to talk about. And I think there's a big spectrum of what we might mean by it. This was the best photo when I did Google image search for mindfulness. There's all sorts of things out there. And I'm sure there's a massive spectrum about what we mean by it. But I think there's something to be said about it, because at its heart, it's saying, what are you going to direct your mind towards? And actually taking time to direct your mind in the right direction. And I think this is actually what we're encouraged here. To think about such things. To think about the things that are good, honourable, right, positive. Direct your mind towards them. And sometimes the whole idea of mindfulness is it takes some focused attention to do that. That actually sometimes we have to take points of actually positively engaging what we're thinking about, rather than just assuming it just happens naturally, because we do have a choice about what we will think about. And that as we think about those things, actually we will find peace. Peace through prayer and through the right patterns of thought. And actually, I think, interestingly enough, I think as I've thought about this, one of them is sort of the cure, if you like, where we find ourselves with a lack of peace, that we're anxious, that we're worried, that we're concerned, the answer is pray. Or come to God, and actually where that situation is that you're worried, you're concerned, you're anxious about, bring it to God. Pray. And actually, if we develop those right patterns of thought, that actually we are looking towards the things that are positive, that are right, that are honourable, that are good, that are praiseworthy, actually we might find that there's less that we're anxious and worried about in the first place. We might find that actually those patterns of thought are a preventative towards finding ourselves in that place. And that's it, folks. I was a bit annoyed preparing this because I wanted something that was a bit more clever than, you know, pray and think about good stuff. But as I've said, I realise, only a few days after thinking about it and preparing it, it's harder to do than you think. Excuse the pun. And that's the challenge of this, really, isn't it? I suspect to a lot of you this isn't new. Whether we're worried about things, we should pray about them. That actually, generally, maybe we should think about the good stuff and the things that are praiseworthy rather than having a moan. It's not rocket science. The challenge, I think, really, honestly, is to do it. To find that peace. So what are you worried about? What is it that occupies your thoughts? And the temptation is, of course, at that point, to find the biggest worry you might have at the moment. But what I really mean is, what are you worried about now? It might be you forgot to put the cat out, I don't know. But what actually is it that concerns you? What are you worried about? And what would you ask God for in that situation? Do you need to remove any of those negative influences? Whatever it might be that might be around you, media, social media, I don't know. But is there I'll say this gently, even there might be someone that's in your life that actually you realise just surrounds you with negative stuff. Not that you're going to cut them out of your life completely, but actually you might go, actually I need to hear less of the negative. Is there a negative influence that you need to remove? And what are those good things that you can look towards, that you can think about, that you can thank God for? If you've been around for a little while, you've probably heard John say, I think he's dropped it into a couple of sermons, that at the evening, each night you thank God. See, I listen, it's worrying that, isn't it? Each night you thank God for three things, and one of them is always about the church. Oh, the four things. There are three things and the four things. Man, John's very thankful. You get up to the higher echelons of John. Try one thing. Try one thing. Getting to the end of the day. And one thing that you can thank God for. That we might develop those right patterns of thought. Because our alternatives aren't great. They might last for a moment, but they don't endure. We're not going to find the lasting peace that Paul writes about here. We're not going to find that peace in the midst of the kind of chaos that Paul was enduring. We're not going to find that peace that passes all understanding. We'll escape, we'll hide from it, we'll block it out for a moment, we'll switch off, but we're going to come back to the same thing. What we're offered here is the peace that passes all understanding. And actually the way to it, the pathway to it, is not that complicated. It comes through prayer. It comes through thinking about the right things. And actually what we're offered here, I believe, is something that's actually so much greater than peace. In some ways, this seems like a really strange passage of kind of things that switch around between one another. But I think it does actually make some sense. Because I think this peace that passes all understanding isn't the kind of on the beach type peace of nothing happening. I think it is the peace in the midst of life, normal life, and the busyness and the chaos and the struggles and the concerns and the worries. And I think what we're offered here isn't the kind of peace that we kind of look at and we go, oh, that kind of able to stand stoically firm in front of everything and, you know, kind of unmoved almost by everything that's happening. I don't think it's even that kind of peace that we're offered. I think the kind of peace that we're offered in here is the peace that leads to what Paul writes in verse 4. To a peace in the midst of all that he was facing, of all that was going around, the peace of God that passes all understanding, that led him to be able to write, in the midst of all of that, rejoice in the Lord always. And I think what we're offered here is something so much better than escaping, something so much better than just kind of standing stoically in the midst of chaos around us. I think we're offered here the peace that actually allows us to rejoice in God, in whatever we might be going on, in whatever might be facing us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you offer us this peace that passes all understanding. And we're sorry when we turn to other things instead of coming to you. Lord, would you help us to do our part, to do these simple things we know that we can lean into you. And Lord, as we take steps towards you, we thank you that we find you running to us. And Lord, would we receive from you that peace? Pray for each one of us in this room, wherever we are at the moment, in the midst of the things that go on in life. Lord, as we draw near to you, would we find you drawing close to us and doing what we simply don't understand in bringing us that peace? And Lord, lead us to rejoice in you. And Lord, would you lead us now to rejoice in you as we recognize what you have done as the God of peace and drawn us to yourself through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.